narrated in Sahih Muslim. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam put me in charge of safeguarding the zakat of Ramadan, meaning the provisions and the food of Ramadan that had been accumulated or donated to the Baytul Mal. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had put me in charge of taking care of it. So while I was taking care of it at night, I was the security guard. A man came and he tried to steal some of the food. So I grabbed hold of him and I said to him, "Arfa'annaka ila Rasulillah." I'm going to take you up to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and complained that I saw you stealing from this food. So the man, he started complaining and saying, "Please let me go," pleaded, and saying that my family is poor and I needed the food, so please let me go, I won't do it again. So in the morning, when I went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked me, "Ya Abu Hurairah, ma fa'ala asiruka al-barih?" "Oh, Abu Hurairah, what did your prisoner do last night?" So before even Abu Hurairah could tell him, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam already knew. So Abu Hurairah said, "This and this happened," and he pleaded with me, and I forgave him and I let him go because I felt sorry for him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he is going to come back. The next night, indeed, the same thing happened. I caught the same man stealing. I grabbed him and I told him that I'm going to take him up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he pleaded with me again. I felt sorry for him. Next day, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked me the same question and he said he will come back again. And then the third night, the same thing happened. The same man came and he was caught stealing, and then Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala who insisted that he's not going to let him go. He's not going to let him go because this was the third time and enough is enough. So this man, he said to Abu Hurairah that, "If I teach you something, something very valuable, would you let me go?" He said, "What is that? What are you going to teach me?" He said that when you go to your bed at night, إِذَا أَوَيْتَ إِلَىٰ فِرَاشِكَ فَإِقْرَأْ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ Ayatul Kursi. When you are going to your bed at night, recite Ayatul Kursi, and this will be a form of protection for you from all sorts of evil and all forms of shayateen. And then Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, after learning this, let him go. And then the next day, obviously the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he already knew. And then Abu Hurairah, he said that this man, he taught me these words about Ayatul Kursi. He taught me this thing about Ayatul Kursi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sadaqaka wa huwa kadhub." He told you the truth, even though he's a huge liar. He's not kadhib. Kadhib means just a liar. But kadhub, somebody who's always lying. It's mubalagha in Arabic, which basically emphasizes the fact that he always lies. He's always lying, but here he told you the truth. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you know who this man was?" Abu Hurairah said, "Tell me who it was." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That was the shaitan came to you in human form." So what we learn from this is the power of Ayatul Kursi. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam verified what the shaitan had taught Abu Hurairah, that Ayatul Kursi is a very powerful medium to protect one from all these forms of evil. And I mentioned that a couple of days ago in brief, but I thought I'd revisit the issue again just to emphasize. The recitation of Ayatul Kursi, it's recommended that after Fajr 3 times, after Maghrib 3 times, after every other salat 1 time, and as this hadith suggests, that a person before going to sleep, he should recite it, and blow upon the hands and rub over the body of the children, and this will be inshallah a form of protection. In addition to that, we need to also understand that there are more important forms of protection, and that is fulfilling the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us. The fara'id that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us, and staying away from the muharramat and the ma'asi, this is an even bigger form of protection. And I'll give you an example of that, which will make you understand that when you are building and constructing your home and you call the alarm company to come and install an alarm in your property, and the alarm person, he says to you that, you know, it's impossible for me to fit an alarm into your house because you haven't even put doors and windows into your house yet. Okay, if you don't even have doors and windows, what's the purpose of the alarm? So the doors and windows of the house is the comparison that you can make to the fara'id and the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us. And until you don't have those doors and windows, the alarm, which is Ayatul Kursi, you know, it is kind of weak on its own. So many people, what they tend to do is they want this magic pill, something which is an easy shortcut while not fulfilling the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon them. They want these easy shortcuts for protection and for fulfilling of their needs. You know, give me a dua that I can recite that will fulfill all of my needs. Well, do you pray your 5 times salah? Well, no, I don't. I'm a little bit lazy from that perspective. Well, you have to do that first before doing any form of dua. So in all respects, whether it's for protection or fulfillment of needs, the first and foremost is fulfilling the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us, the 5 times daily salat, giving up the zakat on time when the hajj is obligatory to fulfill that, and all of the other obligations that we know about. If they become obligatory upon us, we need to fulfill them, and then staying away from the muharramat, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, the things that are prohibited, we need to understand them and keep away from them. And then all of these other du'as and adhkar and awrat, these are secondary in comparison to that. They will only be beneficial, or they will have the most power when we are going through this system that I've just mentioned. Without that system, all of these awrat become weakened, and they will not have the same power as when a person is going through that whole procedure that I've just mentioned. Why is Ayatul Kursi so powerful? I'll just finish by saying this. If we read the translation of it, it combines all of the major awsaf and the qualities, the asma'us wa sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one ayah. There's a riwayah from Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, do you know which is the greatest verse in the Quran? A'zamu ayatin fil Quran. And a person might think that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is saying a'zamu ayah, the greatest ayah, maybe he's talking about size. But Ubay ibn Ka'b, Abu al-Munzir, he's mentioned in this riwayah, he responded by saying it's Ayatul Kursi. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for him for his knowledge, that he gave the correct answer. In size, it's not that big in terms of the wording, but in terms of the content, the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his power, his kingdom, and the fact that nobody is equal to him. He never slumbers, he never sleeps. All of these qualities are mentioned in one verse, and the combination of all those qualities in one verse make it the most powerful verse in the whole Quran. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Tomorrow, inshallah, tomorrow, Brother Norman Ali Khan will be here. He's going to be taking my place. And also, on Sunday, we have a very famous ex-cricketer, Saeed Anwar. He's going to be visiting us after Salatul Asr. And he's going to be giving a talk in Urdu. So please do try to participate. It's after Salatul Asr on Sunday.